Lastly on the show today, by now many of you probably would have seen that viral video of a BBC interview being interrupted by two small children. If you haven't, it's very cute and funny and you should go and watch it. International relations professor it was, Robert Kelly, he was being interviewed about South Korea on BBC when he was briefly interrupted when his two small children walked in. He managed to keep his composure and his wife ushered the two young children out, but it didn't go unnoticed that a lot of people, including some media outlets, had assumed that Professor Kelly's wife, Jung Kim, was the nanny. It sparked a wide discussion about assumptions about race, gender and mixed race couples, and I spoke to Mimi A, who was tweeting a lot about some of these assumptions, and I began by asking her what she thinks the main factors behind these assumptions were.
We're all guilty of confirmation bias, right? It's how we've grown up, it's what we're familiar with. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, probably because I watched a lot of trashy films growing up, for me, a nanny is a Swedish au pair. So, you know, a very young, blonde, sexy-looking woman, that's the kind of person that I would see and think, oh, it's a nanny. Now, unfortunately for a lot of people, and obviously that is not necessarily a good speculation or assumption for me to make either, but for a lot of people, for them, the nanny is an Asian woman. So they'll see someone who is not of the same ethnicity as the other partner, and they will see that there are children involved. They won't even necessarily look at the children. And I think for a lot of people, they didn't look at the children and they will assume, oh, there must be the nanny. So I think that's what happened. And like I said, what I feel quite strongly about is I wouldn't call it racism. I don't think it is actually racism. I think it's just we have certain things that we believe in, whether we even realize we do or not. And I think when I saw that people were doing this, it actually made me think again about experiences that I'd had, and I thought, hang on, this isn't good. This is kind of something that I'd even actually become used to, this kind of speculation, to the extent that it's almost become a joke. So, for example, I mean, I'm married to a white man. I am an Asian woman. I've had jokes about being the mail order bride, which is kind of ridiculous, and you kind of think, yeah, all right, yeah, that's not funny. But because there is, you know, no smoke without fire, and I think that's the problem here. People have kind of, it's become part of culture, it's become part of what you've seen on telly growing up, and then you think, well, you know, that's my automatic reaction. And I think that's what's happened here, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of that media representation is fed into that. But then a lot of people, once you and a whole lot of others came out to say, like, this is this kind of unconscious bias, a lot of people tried to start defending that as well, saying, oh, she looked like she was worried for her job when she rushed in. What's your kind of response to that?
I think that's when I felt like I had to say something, because as far as I'm concerned, this was turning into what I think it's called post hoc rationalisation. Because rather than doing what I feel like they should have done, and to be fair, a lot of people did do, they should have taken a step back and gone, oh, okay, that was an assumption I made, my bad. But instead, a lot of people dug their heels in quite a lot, to the extent I ended up having an argument with somebody where they claimed that the professor, Mr. Kelly, looked like he was 60 years old and that the wife looked like she was 20. Which kind of made me think, you're really trying to tell me that you think they looked like they had a 40-year age gap. It just seemed like a really kind of lame and obvious attempt to backpedal, or, you know, fill in the gaps after the event. And I think that's the issue here. And one of the things that I feel quite strongly is that I think these days we're in a weird kind of world where, in a way, being thought that you might be capable of racism, being kind of accused of racism, is almost as bad or even worse as being actually racist. So, you know, the very idea that you think, oh, I made a judgment which was kind of, you know, possibly a bit prejudiced, a bit bigoted, is something that a lot of people wouldn't be able to admit to themselves. So instead they're going to backpedal and they're going to say, actually, no, there were other factors. So I saw that some people were saying that she looked really young, which I have a massive kind of a problem with anyway, because I don't think she looked very young, and I'm not just saying that because I am Asian, and you know, I just think that that was just a kind of an excuse that was thrown out. A lot of people said that she looked like she was very subservient, which, again, it's kind of quite a loaded term to use. And it's like, well, what are you basing that on? And when I questioned some people about this, they said, oh, well, she scuttled along the floor. And so my answer to that was, well, you know, her husband was being interviewed live on the BBC, to her children just kind of barreled in there, you know, completely stole the show from their father. And I'm sure she was mortified. And, you know, if it was me, I mean, I have two children pretty much the same age. That's exactly what I would have done. And in fact, you know, my husband's had conference calls, not for the BBC, thank goodness, but he's had calls where my children have interrupted. And I've had to do the same kind of ninja extraction because, you know, it's embarrassing and you don't want to make it, your husband look unprofessional. So, I mean, I think that's why she just, you know, she just dived in there, took her children out. And she was bending down, probably because she was embarrassed and didn't want to be seen on camera. And to that, I was also saying that that's kind of like, you know, when you're in the cinema and you suddenly need to go to the toilet and you think, I'm going to get in everyone's way. So you get up and you kind of crouch down and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, it's the same kind of embarrassed, mortified, I want to get in your way, but you're still quite obviously in the way. And I really think that was the motivation that she had. Obviously, I've watched this quite a few times now, just because it's just so adorable and hilarious. And other people have picked up on this. I'm fairly certain that her trousers are actually slightly undone. And if she's anything like me, I suspect she just tried to go to the toilet very quickly and her children escaped her clutches.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what happened. And you said in a tweet that if she had been a white woman, no one would have even assumed that she was the nanny. They would have automatically thought that she was the mum. And so it's kind of this thing that people still aren't necessarily used to seeing interracial couples.
No, they're not. I mean, you know, and you know, I'm not saying that that's terrible and that makes them automatically racist. I think, as someone said to me when I was tweeting about this, it just means that, you know, we need to be more out there. I don't mean that we have like some kind of interracial pride parade, because God knows how you'd organise that anyway. It's just the fact that, you know, the more of these type of relationships are obvious and visible, the more people will be accepting of it. I mean, was it Star Trek a jillion years ago when William Shatner kissed Uhura? Sorry, I can't remember her name.
Yeah, no, Michelle I Nichols? Think that's right, yeah.
Exactly. And that was kind of a landmark of its time, I think. But yeah, I think, you know, more of that's necessary. It needs to be on the telly more, even, or in newspapers more, so that people are used to the concept. So, you know, it's not necessarily the fault of the people who have seen this and have reacted in that way. But I think when it is pointed out to them that this isn't necessarily a good viewpoint to have, it's probably nicer if they're a bit more accepting of what you're saying rather than just poo-pooing what you say. And that's happened with quite a lot of people, unfortunately.
That was The Wire.
That was indeed The Wire for Monday the 13th of March. Thank you to everyone who came on the show. We had Chief Executive of Watercare, Ravine Jadaram, Chief Investment Officer at the New Zealand Super Fund, Matt Finneray, Green Party co-leader James Shaw, AUT Pacific Media.